Good morning to you. This is the voice of Pastor Ken Harger coming your way, and I'm glad to be able to share with you another broadcast. So I welcome you either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Others of you have tuned in by the way of Ionia, I-1430, WION, I-1430, AM at 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. WION, I'm having trouble with that this morning. WION is also heard on 100.3 FM in Lowell and Ada area. So people of Lowell, we welcome you to our broadcast this morning. Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock, and we now stream both of these broadcasts by the way of the web, and we're glad you can join us and be a part of that. Others have tuned us in by the way of internet radio at iearsradio.com at 10 o'clock. And I welcome you, those of you that's listening, by the way of my website. My website is pastorkenharger.com. Go to Messages from the Lighthouse, scroll your mouse down over the Messages from the Lighthouse, and you'll see Current Media, and that's where you can get to today's broadcast. There's also some past media in there, and that's where you can get messages that I have shared in days gone by. Having a little trouble getting started this morning. I have a change of routine. And you know how that is with a change of routine. I'm over here at the Lighthouse this morning. And it's all waves. I'm glad to see the big old ice cube gone. And it's all beautiful waves this morning. The sun hasn't quite risen. It's about 6:30 when I got over here this morning because my neighbor is adding some addition onto his house. And there's going to be some workers here about 8 o'clock. And so I got to make sure I got my broadcast done before they arrive. But I sure do enjoy sharing with you this morning. And we've got a message for this morning entitled The Week Leading Up to Palm Sunday. I'm going to take this morning and share a few messages on the idea of some of the things Jesus was teaching his disciples when he knew that his time was very short. And we'll get to that in just a moment. I need to say thank you to those that take care of the financial broadcast for me. So to Doug and Noreen Lane family from the Sheridan area, thank you so much for your faithful support. To Bill and Judy Hammond from Building, thank you for your faithful support. To Gloria Spencer, in memory and honor of her husband Spence, that was his nickname, and she's from Orleans, and I appreciate your support, Gloria. And to Gay London, in memory and honor of her husband Dave from Greenville. And to Marie Rivard, in memory and honor of her husband Fran from Dayton, Tennessee. Their lives are these here ones that I'm sharing that are in memory of. Their husbands' lives are going on as we share the broadcast time every Sunday morning. And I appreciate the support that's given to me. Thank you to K.N. Kingsinger for picking out our music for this morning. And I always like to give an invitation to Shiloh Community Church. That's where I pastored for 50 years and still attend some of the services there. We haven't been able to make it to all three services on Sunday, but the weekend rather. But we are there Saturday evening most of the time, 6:30. Sunday morning, 9 o'clock. And then the contemporary service is the one we have difficulty staying alert enough for the third service. So that starts at 10:45. And over Greenville campus, that's at the old Lutheran church located by the new McDonald's up there, and that service starts Sunday morning 11 o'clock. Well, that takes care of all the things that I believe I need to take care of this morning as we get started to share the message that God has laid upon my heart. And as do so, I think we'll just listen to a song. And a song is going to talk about the idea. It's just so sweet to trust in this one Jesus. And that's what I want to do, is share about him and what he's done for us and all that he was going through. You know, folks, we're coming closer to Easter. And that's one of the greatest events that can help us in our life. The resurrection of this one Jesus and what he came to do for each one of us. Started out a little louder than I thought, but God bless you. Here we go.
'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon to know, thus saith the Lord.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that He is with me, will be with me to the end.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
What a good way to get started this morning. Jesus, Jesus, how we trust You. How we can take confidence in Your word, knowing that You've given us promises that we can hang on to. And we need to realize that this just didn't all of a sudden just happen. This was God's plan. God's plan that His Son Jesus one day would come to planet Earth. And when He came to planet Earth, He would make the provisions for all humans from that day forward to be able to have this sweetness of trusting in this one Jesus. And so we're going to look at some of that this morning as we consider the week period of time just prior to Palm Sunday. No, Palm Sunday will be next Sunday. Then the following Sunday will be Easter Sunday mornings, late this year. But we're so glad to be able to celebrate that beautiful truth that Jesus Christ is alive. And He's alive for each one of us. But we need to get a little bit of the background in our minds and hearts as to what some of the things He was going through and some of the things He was leading the disciples in as they was preparing their hearts and minds as well for the fact that Jesus was going to die, because they wasn't looking for that. And so we'll address that in just a moment. But before we do, I want to have a word of prayer for my listening audience. Thank you for tuning me in this morning. Rather you're just getting your breakfast around, or you're driving your car to church, or you're just in a nursing home, or somebody told me the other day that they had heard it in the prisons, the message is there too. So wherever you're listening this morning, what a privilege it is for me to be able to share with you. So I want to remember you in prayer. So let's have a moment. Dear Father, we come to You now once again. And dear Father, I come in honor and in blessing, asking Your blessing to be upon the listening audience. Dear Father, we want You to minister to them in Your way this morning. Would You meet them at the point of their individual need? Now, I don't know what, Father, the needs of the listening audience is, but You do. I know there's some avenues that comes in. Some need some encouragement this morning. Some need maybe to have a little challenge this morning. Others maybe need to realize that you, whatever it is they're going through, You do care. And You've promised never to leave them, never to abandon them, but to always be with them. So whatever it is, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, whatever it might be this morning, Father, that the need is there, would You meet them at the point of their need? Would You give them whatever they stand in need of and cause them to desire to go forward with You? And dear Father, You do that for us. We'd be so grateful. Now come and honor Your word as we talk about the teachings of Your Son Jesus in the last part of His life, the things that He knew the disciples, I believe, needed to know in order to be able to face the reality of the things they were going to face in the future. So would You speak to us this morning, I pray, in that wonderful name of Jesus and for His sake. Amen. Well, Jesus knew His time was coming, that What he came to do, he was going to finish. That's just good to know, folks, that what God starts, he finishes. One of my favorite verses for us as Christians is, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. I like to say of God, he has no unfinished projects. I can't say that. I have unfinished projects. I have a few projects that I probably may not even get finished before I leave planet Earth. But nevertheless, that's something that is pretty special to know and to believe that God always finishes what he starts. Well, let's get started for this morning. First of all, I want us to think about the idea that Palm Sunday was what I want to call, when we get to that, the hug from God the Father to God the Son. But Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, Jesus knowing that this time now had come for the purpose that he had came into this world, he now was going to fulfill that purpose. And I like the way it's stated here, that he had come from God and that he was going back to God. That's just good for us to know. Jesus says he was coming from God and he was going back to God. This is going to be a turn point in his life, the things that I want to share with you this week, because he's going to turn his attention from what we talked about last week, all of the miracles that he was doing, the teachings that he was giving to the general public. And I believe Jesus is going to focus now on the disciples that's going to take over for the Lord Jesus when he has finished the work that he came to do here on planet Earth. But you know, you and I need to know that we came from God and that we're going back to God. That's just good to know. It's good to put some thought into that, the realization that we just didn't exist on our own. And I don't believe I came from a monkey, so I want to think I came from God. And you know what? I'm going to go back to God one day. And that's what Jesus is showing us. But as he comes to that realization that this now has to become a point of in his ministry where he's going to focus on his death, he's going to focus on what his death is going to produce for all mankind. And that's given to us in the book of Matthew chapter 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples. And that's what I want to focus on. He was going to be teaching his disciples. Now the things I teach this morning, when I get different things that he was teaching the disciples, may have not all happened in that last week, but it's a preparation that Jesus was given to the disciples for them to realize that he wasn't going to always be here, but that he was going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to suffer many things. Jesus knew that. And the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, all the religious people, and there was going to be, he was going to be killed. But then he was going to rise again the third day. His ministry now was to prepare his disciples for his coming death. That's just good to know. He wasn't just going to leave them, but he's preparing them for the fact that he's going to die. And not only is he preparing them for the fact that he's going to die, he's preparing for them for when he takes over, when he goes back to the Father. Remember, he came from God and he was going back to God. And that was going to happen after his resurrection. We won't get into that today. That's another message, as they say, for another time. But think about it, the fact of the death. Even though death is and was a part of life, just as birth is and is a part of life, it was that way in that day. We know we love the beautiful story of the birth of the Lord Jesus. That's the wood when he first came into the world. And I always think of the stable as being the wood where they laid him to rest as a little teeny baby. But the cross is where he provided the salvation, the second part of wood in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is going to bring about the truth that the disciples had not yet come to understand, that Jesus came not to set up his kingdom on planet Earth and deliver them from the Roman government. But his plan was an eternal plan. His plan wasn't for just a physical kingdom. It was for a spiritual kingdom. Jesus was coming into this world not just for time, but he was coming into this world for eternity. And what he's going to accomplish upon the cross is going to count for time, but it's also going to count for eternity. And God wants us to know that. We shall see that Jesus has to change his focus, and he also has to change the focus of the disciples to come to the place of God's plan rather than man's plan. I can give you the assurance that the disciples didn't quite want to have that happen, because later on we're recorded in the book of Matthew chapter 16 verse 21, from that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer these many things. And Peter took him aside, and Peter rebuked the Lord Jesus. Peter was the one that was a quick spokesman. And this is what he said to Jesus, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. You will not die by the hands of those religious people," he's saying. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, looking right at Peter, I believe, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you're not setting your mind on the things of God, but you're setting your mind on the things of man." And I think it's important for us to realize that God wants us to understand that this life that he has, this message that he has for us, is one that is for time and for eternity. You know what? I think it's just beautiful for me to be able to say this next statement, folks. Jesus knows. Jesus knows. It says Jesus knew that his time was coming and what he needed to do. And even though Jesus knew what was ahead of him for Jerusalem, in one portion of Scripture it said he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. He wasn't going to back away from what he came to do. He was going to accomplish it. And no wonder Jesus says to Peter, when Peter says, "This is never going to happen to you, Jesus." No wonder Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." This is the plan of God that we're talking about. And you're tied into the plan of man. The plan of man was that Jesus would come and set up his kingdom on earth, and then the disciples would be a big part of that. He would deliver them in the future from the Roman government, but that wasn't the way it was working out. And the disciples need to be brought up to speed that this was not the way it was going to be. Not so much the order of the events that I'm sharing with you this morning, but just some of the teachings that led up to that week of Palm Sunday. Some of the teachings that Jesus may have taught them early on, but I just wanted to tie some of them together and let you understand that Jesus was doing things to prepare his disciples for what they were going to experience when Jesus was doing what God the Father had sent him to do. And it was going to be difficult for those disciples. They had figured that he's going to set up his kingdom on planet Earth, and they were getting ready to have their positions in his kingdom as the ones closest to Jesus. That's shown in the book of Mark when James and John, the sons of Zebedee, those two disciples that he called, came up to Jesus one day and they said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." That's kind of a strange way to put it, isn't it? "Jesus, we want you to do for us what we're going to ask now. We want you to do." Sometimes that's the way maybe you and I pray, "Lord, this is what I want you to do." And these disciples come to him. They said to him, Jesus said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said unto him, "Grant us to set one on the right hand and one on your left hand in your glory." When you set up your kingdom, can James be on the right and I be on the left? Or can John be on the right and I be on the left? They're asking that question of Jesus. Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking for." You know, you do not know what you're asking for. You have no idea, Jesus is saying, what's in the agenda in the near future. And that's why I believe he needed to teach the disciples some things. Oh, you got to understand, folks, when the other 10 disciples began to, when they heard them two disciples ask Jesus for that position, they were indignant. They were angry. They said to James and John, Jesus called them to him, and he said unto them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles, you know what the leadership of the world is like. There's those that lord it over others. There's those that's in positions of leadership that kind of lord it over other people. You know that. You know they exercise authority over them. But Jesus said, this is not what I'm talking about in my kingdom. This shall not be among you. You're not going to have these kind of things given to you. But whosoever would be great among you, listen now, you must be the servant. It's good for the disciples to hear this message. It's good for them that they understand what Jesus is saying about his kingdom. And whoever be first among you, that's what these disciples, James and John, was asking for. You know what? He must be the slave of all. You must surrender your life to be a life of leadership to help other people. Then he went on with this. Even the Son of Man, that's Jesus who is talking to them. He's saying, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. And you know what? I came to give my life a ransom for many. That's recorded in Mark 10. God wants his disciples to know what his kingdom is like. And they haven't caught up with that. They don't have that truth in their minds that he's going to die. And so he's beginning to prepare them for what they're going to go through. The lesson was different between the rulers of the Gentile people and what Jesus was going to set up. And the disciples needed to know that Jesus' kingdom was not of this earth. Jesus' kingdom would be you wouldn't be appointed to positions in his kingdom. But you would earn those positions by your willingness to serve. It would be earned. You must be willing to be the servant of all. You must be willing to become a slave to the needs of other people. He said that. You must. It's the idea, that's how my kingdom's going to go forward. Then I love Jesus tells them that is why he came into the world. He said, I've tried to show you this by example. I came into the world not for people to serve me. Remember what all we talked about last week? All of the miracles Jesus was doing, all the teachings he was given. It was to benefit other people. It wasn't going to make Jesus Jesus. It was going to let them know who he was. And all the healings that took place and the dead raised to life, all those things were just for them to know that this one, Jesus, came to minister to the needs of other people. Jesus' kingdom is greatness. In Jesus' great kingdom, let me get it to where I want to. In Jesus' great kingdom, if you want to become great, he said, you know how you do that? You do that by serving others. You know what he's really saying, folks? There's some benefit that comes to your life that you will never receive in any other way unless you're willing to use that time of your life to minister to the needs of other people. God is reminding us that's what he's called us to. You know, in the book of Peter, Jesus, God teaches this. He tells us that he gives us spiritual gifts. And he said, whatever gift you have received, you've received it to serve others. So as a faithful steward of God and God's grace, in whatever form it comes in your life. So he's saying my life and your life is meant to be a help to other people's lives. It's supposed to accomplish something in their life. And that's what Jesus says his kingdom is about. And you know, here 2,000 years later, Jesus' kingdom is about the same thing. He's saying, if you really want to benefit all that you have in Jesus, let Jesus use you to help somebody else in their life. We're going to get on to that a little bit further, but I'm just wanting us to think these events are leading up to the realization for these disciples. This is not what you've got in your minds, but I need to let you know this is the way it is. We need to know that we understand that if you want to be great in Jesus' kingdom, you're going to have to serve other people. Jesus goes on with that as he gets the apostles together some other time, and he tells them about what they need is to understand that they need an attitude of service. So the disciples came to Jesus one day and they said, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree here, standing right there, I believe, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. You're going to have us do some stuff. We need more faith than we got right now. So increase our faith. And Jesus said, the faith doesn't need to be increased. The faith needs to be realized that you need that faith in God. You know what Jesus called it one day? Faith the size of a mustard seed. Do you know one of the mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds there is? And yet it produces, in comparison to the size of the seed, it produces a bush that even the birds could build a nest in. We need to realize God's saying to his disciples, as he's saying to me today, as he's saying to you today, it's not just that you need more faith, but you need an attitude change. And Jesus is working on that. He said, you could say to this mulberry tree, I want to throw you in the sea, and that's where it would go. And which of you, he asked him a question, having a servant plowing or tending the sheep, will say to him when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat. But would you not rather say, wouldn't you not be more likely to say, prepare something for my supper, and then gird yourself and serve me until I have eaten and drank all that I want. Then afterwards, you can eat and you can drink and enjoy your evening. Does he thank the servant, the master, because he did that which he was commanded to do? Jesus said, I don't think so. So likewise, you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what our duty has asked us to do. I love it whenever I see a policeman or a fireman that saves somebody else's life. They say, we're not really a hero. We did what we were supposed to do. Dear people, that's what Jesus is trying to teach his disciples. He said, you need to know that there's going to be some responsibility on your shoulders from this day forward. And you need to know that this responsibility is going to cause you to go forward in your life. And I love what Jesus, how he got their attention. He asked the question, which one of you would say to your servant when he comes in from a busy day's work, sit down and take it easy. I know it's been hard work out there for you today. No, the master would say to the servant, now get some supper ready. After I've had all I want, then you can eat and enjoy the rest of your evening. You see, I think Jesus not only asked the question, he answered the question. And he answered the question with the realization that the disciples' attention had to be turned from the idea that I need more faith, to do what God wants me to do, to the point, no, you just got to get busy doing what God wants you to do. You know what, folks? It comes down to the bottom line before we take a pause and have a song. He's saying, what is your attitude? Is your attitude that when you've done something for Jesus, you've only done what you should do? the fireman that rescues that child from the fire. He only did what he should do, what he's been trained to do, what should be expected of him and all in his ability. You know something, folks? I don't believe there's anything wrong making them a hero. But I think we also got to realize that they did what they're supposed to do. And when you do what you're supposed to do, that should give you a feeling of fulfillment. And that's what Jesus is saying. The master isn't always constantly thanking his servant for the things he did, because that's the things the servant was supposed to do. I don't believe we should expect thanks from Jesus every single thing we do for him. We should come to that place in our heart and in our life where we say, you know what? I'm just doing what I was told to do. And isn't that something that should be beneficial to each one of us? I'm just doing what I was told to do. I want to take a little break. I want us to listen to a song, and this song has said, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you've got to be the servant of all. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
If you want to be great,
those words ring over and over in our ears. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, you got to be the servant of all. That's not how we do it in our world kingdom. That's how we do it. That's not how we do it in the earthly kingdom, how people treat people. But Jesus is saying, my kingdom's going to be different. in order for his kingdom to be different, those that make up his kingdom have to be different. We have to be thinking different ways of thoughts. Can't have the same wave of thinking where I'm here for you to serve me. But just like Jesus, we're here to serve others. We're here on planet Earth to bring about some improvement in somebody else's life, to be used of God to bring that about. That's a beautiful thing, folks. That's a beautiful thing for us to get a hold of. And Jesus is letting the disciples know that this is what it's going to be like in his kingdom. And these are things that they're going to have to get used to doing. And then he gives another little lesson that I like, and I don't know if this was given the very last week of Jesus' life before Palm Sunday, but the lesson is simply this. You need to count the cost. You need to realize to be my disciple, to be one that is following me, you need to count the cost. A large crowd was traveling with Jesus, and he turned to them and he said, if anyone comes to me but loves his father and mother, wife or children, brothers or sisters more than he loves me, then he cannot be my follower. I need you to be sold out, Jesus is saying. You can't put something between me and you. Even the beautiful thing that the family is. A person must love me more than he loves himself. He's saying, you know, you just can't be so much in love with yourself that you're not. I'm not able to use you. You're letting relationships become between you and me and the relationship we have. He goes on, if anyone is not willing to die on the cross or carry his own cross, he must love me more than you can't be my follower. If you want to build a tower, Jesus said. So he's going to give him a little illustration. Jesus always did that, and I've loved Jesus for doing that. Let me explain it this way, Jesus says. If you're going to build a tower, wouldn't you sit down first and decide how much it would cost? You must see if you have enough money to finish the job. If you don't do that, you might begin to work and be unable to finish the tower. And then he says, you know what would happen? If you couldn't finish, then all who would see it would laugh and say, they would say, this man began to build a tower, but he wasn't able to finish it. You know what Jesus is saying to the disciples? He'd given an invitation for some to follow him, and they always said what they had to do. One of them had to go check this out. One of them had to check this out, and so on. And Jesus now is saying, you know what? I want you to be sold out totally to me. I want you to sign on a kind of commitment that you're going to love me more than anything else. By the way, folks, that's not a new teaching of Jesus. That's a teaching that was taught way back in the Old Testament. It was a teaching that Jesus reaffirmed in the New Testament when he said, when asked the question, what's the greatest commandment of all the commandments? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's God's plan from the beginning of time. He's wanting us to realize a family relationship is a beautiful thing. But he wants us to realize, don't use your family for an excuse not to do what God wants you to do. If you do it with your family, it's going to benefit your family. Remember, be a servant to all. And that includes your family and my family. You know, that's something that is very special for us to get a hold of. That's the way it should be. Jesus is not saying destroy your family relationships. But I think he's saying also, he used the word hate there, but you know, that's a kind of a comparison thing. It's your commitment to the Lord Jesus is so strong that it looks like you hate your family. In comparison thing. It's not that you don't love them. But you know what? If you put first things first, it's going to create the better for your family. Because I put God first in my life, I believe my family benefited from that. I believe you and I need to know. What else could you do? So he's asking us the question, have you considered the cost? You got to consider the cost of what it's going to cost you. And he's saying, this cost is one that I'd explain in this way. I want you to finish what you start. I want you to be a person of completing what I give you to do. And that's where Jesus got started. I told you that at the beginning of the service time, that Jesus had no unfinished projects. So Jesus is now speaking to the disciples and he's saying, you know what I want for you? I don't want you to destroy your family. I don't want you to have a good outlook on your own individual life and your value as far as God is concerned. But what I want you to do is I want you to love me, and that love will be so strong in such a way that you'll want to do the very best you can for your family, but you also want to do the very best you can for your neighbor as well. And in so doing, you'll be doing the very best you can do for yourself. Have you ever noticed? When you help others, it helps you. In my funeral services that I do, I share the idea of something that I love about God in comforting people. That's a big area of my ministry this week, four funerals. It's a big area of ministry for me. Being with people who are hurting. Every year when I get done at the end of the year, I've seen buckets of tears as people have shed tears for their loved ones when they came to the place of death. But you know what God teaches us? He said he's the God of all comfort. And he's going to comfort, he's going to come alongside of you when you go through those tough times in your life. And you know what he says he wants to do? He wants you then, when you see other people going through similar experience you're going through in your life, he wants you to come alongside of them. And you know what God promises that he will do? In turn, he comforts you again. He comforts you as you comfort other people. That's God's kingdom. That's what Jesus wants us to do. You see, that's going to benefit the kingdom of God. That's going to be a benefit for the person that you are helping out to be a little closer to God. But at the same time, it's going to benefit you to finish the project, the commands that God has given you to do. So he uses the illustration. If you start to build a tower and you're not able to finish it, you could become the laughingstock of the community. So sit down and consider the cost. He's saying to the disciples, you got to decide. I don't decide that for you. You got to decide. Have you signed on for the long haul? Are you here for the finish line? Or are you just starting the race and not finishing the race? And God talks about finishing the race. And he said, it's not just a 100-yard dash. It's a long race. And I want you to finish that race that is a part of your life. I was very fond of Billy Graham. In all the years of ministry, he was in my early years of my ministry. Billy Graham was a good mentor for me. He reaching out and loving on people. I came across this statement that Billy Graham said, salvation is free, but discipleship costs everything we have. Inwardly and outwardly, God's saying, you want to be my disciple? I'm showing you, disciples, what's going to happen, what's going to come, the necessity in your life to be willing to do and to be all that God wants you to be. And by the way, folks, God never asks us to do something that he does not equip us to do. You know what it means? To follow Jesus means, well, maybe it'll be a place of some suffering. Maybe there'll be some loneliness. But Jesus will be there with you. He said, follow me. You know, maybe there'll be some blessedness. But Jesus says, follow me. Follow me means there's a path. And that means there's a person. Jesus saying, I've laid out the path for you. I didn't come to be served. I come to serve. And all through his life, he showed how he reached out to other people. And in reaching out to other people, Jesus was doing the very job he came to do and was preparing the people for what he was going to accomplish when he died upon that cross. There's a path. I've shown you the path. And there's a person. It's not a religious teaching. It's the person. We're to follow Jesus. Not just to follow Jesus' teaching, but to follow Jesus who did the teachings that he taught. That's what it was. That was what was a part of his life. And if there's suffering, if there's sweetness, just learn, Jesus is going to be there with you. He's going to assist you in that. I love another way when he was with his disciples. He was sharing this truth for them to know. That it wasn't always going to be an easy road. But if they would just do what they were supposed to do, God would bless and God would be with them. If anyone, Jesus said one time in the book of Matthew chapter 16, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, he's saying, I don't believe he's saying you deny yourself things. He's saying deny yourself. Deny the right that you have to govern your own life. Deny the idea that you've only one life and you're just going to live it to do the very best in all the things that you want to do as an individual. Deny yourself. Deny yourself, not things, but who you are and why you're here. I go back to what I said about Jesus, that he came from God and that he was going back to God. And God's saying, I want you to take up your cross. You see, he's reminding them right at the very front end, not after they got started a little while. So, oh, there's a cross, by the way, to bear. No, he reminds us at the front end, take up your cross. There's going to be some tough stuff in your life. That tough stuff isn't to destroy you. That tough stuff is to build you. That stuff is to make you into the person that I have in mind that I want you to become like, even Jesus himself. Follow me. Did not Jesus take up his cross? You know the story. You know that Jesus even carried that wooden cross partway to that hill called Calvary. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Have you got there with me yet? He's saying, this is how you're going to find what your purpose is. Give up your self-control on your life. Turn your life over to Jesus. For what a profit a man, he said, if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul in gaining the world. And people have done that. They've gained the whole world, and they lost their purpose for living. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? God is saying, you know what? That innermost part of you, you're going to find your fulfillment not in a whole bunch of things, folks. You're going to find your fulfillment in doing what Jesus has commanded you to do. And when you get done, you could say, I've only done what I should have done. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. And listen to this, and it isn't why I do what I do, but this is what he promises. He'll never be outgiven, and he will reward each one according to the things that he has done with his life. That's what's going to count. That's what's going to count, is what you've done with Jesus, for Jesus and with Jesus. And you know what? Jesus has given us that pattern to follow, that as you reach out and be a help to others, you'll also be helping yourself. Well, my time, and according to the clock on the wall here, says it's better be signing off, Pastor Ken. And so I got a song I want us to close with, which really means a lot to me because it's so true in my life. Because as longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. We need to realize, folks, that as you continue on your life, I can say to you this morning, even at 84 years old, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And he wants to do that in your life and in my life. Let's listen in. God bless you. Thank you for letting me share.
For the kingdom, and since my life he controls, and since I gave to Jesus, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more overflows, the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. Every need he is supplying, and plenteous grace he bestows. And every day my way gets brighter, the longer I serve him, the sweeter the Lord.